Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Life of Jesus. There are a lot of things in the four Gospels with origins in the Old Testament. The atonement Jesus provided on the cross is one of them. The crucifixion alone didn't do it. It's what took place during the 3 hours that Jesus hung on the cross that is the key. It becomes necessary to examine the initial setup of atonement during the time of Moses when the high priest entered the tabernacle and made a sacrifice for the sins of the people. When Jesus came to earth in the form of a man, he was referred to as the Lamb of God, a title dating back to the Passover prior to the Israelites leaving Egypt. Thousands of years later, God the Son entered a human body, lived a sinless life, and paid for the sins of humanity on the cross. The wrath of God the Father was poured out on Jesus, filling him with the filth of sin, and God the Father reconciled mankind back to himself through Jesus. This message is entitled, The Atonement. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be speaking today on the subject, the Atonement. This is the center core of the Christian faith, and I want to very carefully teach on this subject today. I've asked God, help me not to mess it up. Help me to be precise, because this will determine if a person gets saved or not saved. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask those people in the chapel if you will stand with me as we pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that I have a pulpit to preach. I want to thank you, Lord, I'm still alive on this earth. And I pray right now, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to fill me, use me, and Father God, that you will speak through me today. Holy Spirit, touch every person that is watching or listening. And Father God, help them to understand the scriptures today. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to start in Leviticus. Chapter 16, Leviticus, and it's going to be chapter 16. Now, Jesus is a God of the Old Testament. And so Jesus is the creator. He's the one that gave the instructions to Moses how things were going to be done when it comes to sacrifices. If you want to read here from Leviticus 16, verse number 5. And he that's a high priest, or Aaron at this time, he shall take out a congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goat for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. Notice now, Aaron, the high priest, before he could do anything, he had to cleanse himself. So he had to offer a bullock and sacrifice that in order for him to qualify to continue. And he shall take two goats and present them for the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Two goats now, not lambs. And he's now presenting goat number one and goat number two. And Aaron should cast lot upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. So now God decided, I got two goats, this one kill now. Sacrifice. Put him on the altar. Sprinkle the blood. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. Now, that goat was going to be a sin offering. But the goat on which for the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, shall kill a bullock of sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take his censer, full of burning coal of fire from above the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. He shall take out the blood of the bullock, sprinkle it with a finger upon the mercy seat, eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with a finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. He shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgression and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And then we go down here in verse number 21. And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all the transgressions, in all his sin, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities out their land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Notice now that all these sacrifices did not atone for the sin of the people. It could not. And the scapegoat had all the sins of the people transferred to him. And then he was led into the wilderness. In other words, the payment for sin, the punishment, was deferred to the future. Notice now, all the sins were laid upon the goat. He took it away into the wilderness, a deferment. But it had not been paid for. It was accumulating. It had to be paid for someday. The Lamb of God, Jesus, is never referred to as a goat. In John 1:29, that's the Gospel of John 1:29, we read the following. John chapter 1, verse number 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was referred to as a lamb. A lamb was considered innocent. A goat was considered being sinful. In Exodus chapter 12, that's in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to read about the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, If you pick it up in verse number 3, Exodus 12:3. Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make account for that lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So the lamb now had to be perfect. It was to be sacrificed. And then we read in verse number 12 and 13. If I would pass through the land of Egypt's night, would smite all the first but the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, will I execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you, to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. They were to kill the lamb. They were to roast it. They were to eat it. They were to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And when the angel of death came to kill the firstborn of men and animals in Egypt, when the angel saw the blood, he passed it over, and he didn't stop. It was the blood that saved the person. The blood. Remember that now. In Matthew chapter 25, we get the definition of goats. Matthew chapter 25. If you pick it up here in verse number 31, Matthew 21:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations. He shall separate them from one another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So the goats here represented sin. The lamb represented righteousness. In Hebrews 9:6, that's Hebrews 9:6. To some of you, this might be old hash, but I'm trying to put it together in such a way they will have an impact upon us. Because this is the core of Christian faith. If you don't have the atonement, you have no salvation. Then we're all barking up the tree in the wrong tree. This is the center core of the Christian faith. In Hebrews 9, we pick it up from verse number 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle and accompanied the service of God. But to the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors or the sins of the people. The same principle now as we read in Exodus. The Holy Ghost does signify that the way to the holiest of all was not made manifest while as the first tablet was yet standing, which was a figure for the time of the present, in which you offered both gift and sacrifice, that could not make him that deserved perfect as pertaining to conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washing and corn ordinances imposed on them under the time of reformation. But Christ, being come as a high priest, a good thing to come, by greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with his hands, that is to say, not that his building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Once Jesus entered into the holiest of holies with his blood for eternal redemption. I want to share something with you that I want you to think about now. Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have always existed. They're eternal. They always will exist. There's something that you and I cannot understand. We can understand existing forever, but not existing backwards forever. Always been there. When Jesus was going to do the atonement, he needed a physical body. So we had Mary, a Jewish teenager, engaged but not married, selected, probably 17, 18 years old in that age range. And you know the story that the angel came into Mary and told her that you're going to be with child. She said, how's that possible? I haven't seen a man. I haven't had any sexual intercourse. And then the angel said, you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to take an egg from you, and he's going to fertilize it, and it's going to develop into a human body. It's going to be called Jesus. Notice now, Mary furnished flesh and bones. The Holy Spirit furnished the blood. The man furnished the blood for the child to be. The mother furnished the flesh and the bones. The blood that flowed from conception in a physical body of Jesus was supernatural. It was not from this earth. It was divine. It was sinless. So when his body was sacrificed on the cross, his body was like the lamb. But the blood that was spilled was divine. And that's why the blood has salvation power. It has saving power. In verse 19 and 26 of Hebrews 9, we read this. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet, wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled about the brook at all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament, which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The blood is extremely important. If Jesus had an earthly father, he could have never been eternal sacrifice for us. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We're going to look upon that next week. But if you remember reading the different Gospels, you find out that Jesus' body died on the cross. Jesus went to paradise. Third day, Jesus came out of paradise, got back into the body, was resurrected. His body was made resurrected. And he now had a perfect body. Now, Mary came up, and Jesus said, "Don't touch me, because I haven't been to the Father yet." A week or a few days later, he told Thomas, "Touch me. Stick your hand into my side." He could touch him. After Jesus had been resurrected, showed himself to Mary and the others, he went to heaven. He had taken with him his blood. He literally walked into heaven, where they had an altar. He walked up to that altar, and he presented the blood to the Father and said, "Father, here is my blood that I spilt." The Father said, "Accepted. It's done." Then Jesus went back to earth again, and he was here for 40 days, being seen by his disciples. Let me read that verse to you again. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but to heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." This is when the legal procedures were made. Because we read before that the tabernacle on earth was a pattern of what's in heaven. And on that day, God the Father was there. God the Holy Spirit was there. The most important angels, holy angels, were there. And they all watched Jesus coming in through the door with his blood and walking up and putting on the altar and saying, "Here it is." That was a legal event. The Father accepted it. And that blood is still on that altar. That blood is what saves you and me. A lot of people say, "Well, we plead the blood on this, we throw the blood on that." The blood has only one purpose: to save man from sin. It is not magic. It is not like witchcraft where you throw the blood out and this and that, that the demons flee. No, the blood has one purpose, and that was to save us. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enter the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he be often served to the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now, we're going to go to the cross. And we're going to take a look now at the cross, what happened. We're going to start our first scripture. It's going to be in Isaiah chapter 53. That's Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53. Let me read from the outline now. Jesus set up two goats in the Old Testament to make atonement for the sins of the people of Israel. The sin goat had to die while the scapegoat carried away the sin for the people. The payment for the sins of the Israelites was deferred to the future. The goats were identified with sin, while the lamb was viewed as a symbol of innocence. When Jesus was flogged, every sickness on earth was transferred to his body. It is for this reason that believers in Christ have the privilege of being healed. We're reading up from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. In the Hebrew text here, it has future tense. And when this was given to Isaiah, he simply said, "By his stripes, we are going to be healed." Matthew 8:17. That's Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 17. I want to read up from verse number 16. "When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick. That he might be fulfilled with the spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses." Jesus had a power before the cross to heal. He gave that power to the apostles. He gave that power to the 70 others. On the day of Pentecost, the power was transferred to all believers in Christ. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. And we read this. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Notice now, Jesus bore the sins of the human race. So now, we had the cross, and now we're going to look very quickly on the rebellion of Lucifer. And I'm going to read here to stay focused. "To fully understand the atonement, it is necessary to first examine the rebellion of Lucifer's fallen angels. They were created with a free will before the universe was made. Their assignment was to spread out throughout the universe and develop civilization on different planets. Lucifer was given the earth, and he chose to rebel and try to dethrone God. This led to a space war that ended in Lucifer's defeat, a trial in which he was sent to the lake of fire and being cast down to the earth." Let's read from Revelation 12 here. Revelation chapter 12. And you pick it up from verse number 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, an old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, but they accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. The blood saves us. The Holy Spirit comes in. And now we got power over the enemy. In Matthew 25:41, we read this, that the lake of fire was created for the devil. "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Lucifer, after this had happened, simply did not accept that. But he said, how can a loving God cast his creature into everlasting punishment? We do not have that verse in the Bible, but it inferred to that. And if you look in Romans chapter 3, it is stated here why Jesus came. Romans chapter 3. If you pick it up here in the first, let me go to Romans 3, verse number 19 is where I'm going to go. Now we know what things were the law said. It said to them, to the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world be made guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight. For by the law is an altar of sin. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all upon all that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, for the redemption is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed to the forebears of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the just for him which believes in Jesus. Now, in order for God to prove his righteousness, he created mankind. God did not create mankind because he was lonely or because he wanted something. We are specifically created to show the righteousness of Christ. And I'm going to skip over that part in my outline, the creation of humanity. And I'm going to put the scripture verses here so we have them on a recording. And let me just read this to you here. Adam and Eve were created to show God's righteousness. Lucifer challenged them in the Garden of Eden to the serpent, and they readily accepted his deception and sinned. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. The human race was contaminated by sin and condemned to the lake of fire. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit already knew that this would happen, having put plans into effect which would allow the Godhead to pay for the sins of mankind. It would be God the Father reconciling mankind back to himself through God the Son. And now we read Revelation 13, 8. That's Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, slain for the foundation of the world. The sacrifice of Jesus was decided before the foundation, before the creation started, paying for mankind's sins. In order to accomplish redemption, it was necessary for God to enter a human body, live a sinner's life on earth, and then become the sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. Hence the incarnation of Jesus in the human body. And you find that in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. At the end of his ministry, Jesus stated that Lucifer had nothing which to accuse him, because the Son of God had lived a sinless life and therefore was unequally qualified to pay for the sins of mankind, since he was a perfect lamb. John 14, 22. The Gospel of John 14, 22. Let me get to the right place. I want to go to John 14, 22 through 31. Let me go down just to, I'm going to read from verse number 30 and 31. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, and has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandments, even so do I. Arise, let it go hence. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, has nothing in me. Here's what I want you to think about now. Jesus had a body, sinless blood, flesh and blood for his mother. He lived as a baby, as a child, as a teenager, as a young man up to he was 30 years old. And he never sinned once. He could do that because he had sinless blood. He was not contaminated. He did not have a sinful nature. Satan tempted him over and over again, but he refused to sin. And that's why Jesus said, there's nothing in me that Satan can claim. He was the perfect lamb. Now the mission of Jesus was twofold. I'm back on the outline now. Number one, Jesus' physical body was to be sacrificed and killed, just like the lamb at the Passover. The body to be killed. Jesus, number two, Jesus was to be punished by God the Father. The sins of Adam and Eve, all the way to the last man, were transferred to Jesus when he hung on the cross. Once the transfer of Jesus was complete, God the Father punished God the Son and poured his wrath upon Jesus, accounting for every sin. Let's look in 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and committing to us the word of reconciliation. There's several verses here that I'm going to read into the audio. Galatians 3, 8 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. And Hebrews 9, 28. When Abraham was going to sacrifice, God provided the sacrifice. And I'm going to turn quickly to Genesis chapter 22. That is Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read a couple of verses here. And I'm going to pick it up here from verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold a fire and a wood, but where is a lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. This is written some more than 3,000 years before Christ. And Abraham said, God will provide a lamb. In this case, Isaac was laid on the altar. And then God provided a ram and said, Don't kill your son. I've seen it. In order for God the Father to pay for the sins of humanity, it was necessary to provide redemption for mankind. We've already read from 2 Corinthians 5:19. Lucifer and his fallen angels never imagined it was possible for God to pay for mankind's sins. They didn't know that once the body of Jesus had been nailed to the cross, that God the Father would transfer the sins of humanity to Jesus and judge him accordingly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I really need your attention right now. This is a focal point here in the message. Lucifer and the fallen angels knew that God had something up his sleeve. They did not know how God was going to redeem mankind. They contaminated the mankind and knew that they couldn't use man. Lucifer and his fallen angels, including the holy angels, could not conceive in their minds that God himself would pay for the sins of the human race. That never entered their thinking. Let me read the scripture again. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, sat down and said, okay, we're going to have Lucifer rebel, we know that. He's going to accuse us of being unrighteous. We have to create a human race. We have to prove our righteousness. And to do that, they're going to fall in sin. Some are going to pay for that. Sin has to be paid for. And the way we're going to do it is, we got to pay for it ourselves. If Satan would have known that, I said it many times, he would have told every fallen angel, every evil spirit, guard Jesus. Whatever happened to him, guard him until he die of old age. Don't let him close to the cross. But he didn't know. He did not know. Let's go to the last page now. We now have Jesus on the cross. In Mark 15. Let me make sure that I didn't get screwed up here. I'm on the right track. Mark 15. You pick it up in verse number 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land unto the ninth hour. I want you to think with me right now. Jesus had been flogged. Every sickness was laid upon him. They put his body up on the cross. He was bleeding. And he was now ready to be sacrificed. In order not to pay for the sins, let me read my text here. Once the sin of mankind had been transferred to Jesus, God the Father now viewed the Son of God as depraved, rotten to the core, bent on rebellion. Jesus represented the human race, and God the Father judged him accordingly when he poured out his full wrath on the Son of God for 3 hours. God is righteous, and the sins of the human race could not go unpunished. There had to be a punishment for the crime. The God that knew that they were the only ones that could satisfy the debt of sin. Therefore, God the Father's wrath was directed at Jesus as a punishment to fulfill the demand for justice. This is the way it was done. God simply darkened up Jerusalem so no one could see what happened to Jesus on the cross. His body had been sacrificed, but not a payment was going to be made. And it was at that moment. Remember now the sin goat, the scapegoat. When the high priest laid hands on the scapegoat and transferred all the sins to the goat, and then they led him away. When the darkness fell, God gave the order. God the Father gave the order. Transfer every sin to Jesus, from Adam and Eve to the last person living, past, present, future. Every sin was piled on Jesus. And once it had been completed, but God now looked upon Jesus, he looked upon himself. He saw sin. He didn't see Jesus now. He saw the sin of humanity. Jesus had now become sin for us. And now God poured out his wrath in full power. Unbelievable wrath. And he lashed out and he spiritually judged Jesus and punished him until it was finished. Only God himself through Christ could have taken that tremendous punishment, like a blowtorch, like a hydrogen bomb, intense, hitting hard. And in Matthew 27:46, we read the following. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that time, he was separated from the Father. And he simply said, why have you forsaken me? That's when Jesus made the payment for all sins. In Matthew 27:50, we read this. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Let's turn to Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I command my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And then John chapter 19. And we pick it up in verse 28 to 30. And Jesus, after this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, which the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it into a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The wrath lasted for a period of 3 hours. And then the payment was done. And Jesus said, it is finished. He gave up the ghost. He left the body hanging on the cross. He was done. And he went to paradise. When you lead someone to Christ, you should know how much it cost God the Father and God the Son to pay for our sins. We should really be appreciating our salvation. When we get depressed, we don't get this or something broke or we lost a job, whatever it is. Big deal. Think eternity. This life will end with all the stuff. You're going to leave it all behind. Everything you bought and did, everything you built, it's all going to be left behind. You're going to walk out with nothing. appreciate your salvation. In Hebrews 9:24. Let me get to the Bible. Hebrews 9:24. That's where I want to go. I read it before today. We read it again as the last scripture. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but to heaven himself, not to appear in the presence of God for us. I want you to see the picture now. Jesus, having been on that cross for 3 hours, took all the punishment, and then finally God stopped, it was finished. And Jesus said, I thirst. It's finished. He left the body, went to paradise. 3 days later, he was resurrected, his body. And then he went straight up into heaven. Can you imagine the Father? He must have stood up. The angels standing up, clapping their hands as Jesus walked in with his blood. And the Father said, accept it. We've done it. We have bought the human race. We paid for it ourselves. They belong to us now. And now, salvation was opened for mankind to be saved and have eternal life. Not that he should offer himself off to the high priest often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For they must have often suffered the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It's the point of the man wants to die, but after this is judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When Jesus comes back, he comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you understand now that if God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit paid such a high price to redeem mankind? Do you understand now when those that are not saved, they're going to get the wrath of God? Because God is going to say, you discarded what I did. I sacrificed myself. I took it all in pain. I suffered. And you rejected it. Therefore, now, it's a lake of fire. You will not pay for this yourself. I tried to pay it for you, but you wouldn't let me. Now, the lake of fire. And you know what? The price, the payment, is so high that it will take eternity and it can never be paid because you are sinful and you can't pay for it yourself. This is how we should present the gospel. Not saying, you know, would you like to go to heaven? Yeah. They should know why they go to heaven and what it costs. It's either heaven or hell and laid lake of fire. But this is the word of God. The atonement cost God everything. The atonement gives you and me everything. Are we thankful? Are we praising God? Or have we not understood the salvation? And we simply are sloppy agape. To those of you that are watching me today, and you said, you know, I never heard the gospel presented like this. I didn't know what it was. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. You can be saved. All you have to do is just to say, God, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose on the third day, and paid for my sins. God, forgive me. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. I want to be born again. And he will do just that. When we finish here, the screen is going to change. You're going to have three crosses coming up. Pastor Charles Terrell is going to come up and talk to you. He's going to take time and share with you some scriptures. Talk to you about salvation. And then pray and help you to understand so we know for sure that you are saved. You see, the price was paid for. Our part is to confess our sins, acknowledge Jesus, and ask Jesus to save us. That's our part. That's how simple it is. But we had to come and receive our salvation. If you make that decision today, I would like for you to call us or write us. I would like to talk to you, pray with you, congratulate you, and encourage you. And to those of you that are saved, a regular audience that we have that know Christ, I hope that you take time today and read, go through the sermon again, the outline, and really think about it. And then take time this afternoon or evening, having a talk with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and say, I really appreciate my salvation. Forgive me for having early in life took it lightly, took it for granted. I really now, Lord, understand how much it cost you. I do appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for taking my place at the judgment that I don't have to go to. If you do this, something is going to happen to you. You're going to be pleasing the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to come into your life. He's going to give you a new strength and a new joy. As you realize that God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, and the Holy Spirit is a power in my life. May God bless you as you make that decision and as you pray today. And here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the word, Lord. And I don't think that much more can be said. The past 3 weeks we've gone over this great salvation with a very clear and concise description. And we pray that the lost in the world will be able to hear the gospel and to receive Christ. That was the ultimate goal. For what Jesus did was to redeem mankind. So we thank you for that. We pray for all Christians to come to the realization, because so many have not understood salvation in its entirety as presented. And we pray for the world that's in turmoil. It's been in turmoil from the garden. And we pray for people to be saved. That's the bottom line. That's the only good exit point on this earth. Thank you for our many blessings. We thank you for knowledge of the truth. We thank you for the Word of God to go forth into the world and reach every last corner. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 19th part in the series, The Life of Jesus, and was entitled, The Atonement. There are a lot of things in the four Gospels with origins in the Old Testament. The atonement Jesus provided on the cross is one of them, but the crucifixion alone didn't do it. It happened during the 3 hours Jesus hung on the cross. The initial setup took place during the time of Moses when the high priest entered the tabernacle and sacrificed a goat and banished another for the sins of the people. The payment of sin was deferred with the second goat. When Jesus came to earth in the form of a man, he was referred to as the Lamb of God, a title dating back to the time of the Passover in Egypt. God the Son entered a human body, lived a sinless life, and was imbued with the filth of sin on the cross. All of human history points to the cross when the wrath of God the Father was poured out on Jesus. It was the end of the first covenant when God the Father reconciled mankind back to himself through God the Son. The veil in the temple separating the Holy of Holies was torn, signifying that the atonement was complete. The second covenant was in force, and blood sacrifices would never be needed again. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1723. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.